Sunny got out of the casserole dish and stood up, looking down at the snowy ground so the villain would not see she was smiling. It is not nice to tease people, of course, but the youngest Baudelaire felt that it was all right to enjoy a joke at the expense of such a murderous and evil man, and she walked to Olaf's car with a spring in her step, a phrase which here means, in a surprisingly cheerful manner, considering she was in the clutches of a ruthless villain on top of a mountain so cold that even the nearby waterfall was frozen solid. But when Sunny Baudelaire opened the trunk of the car, her smile faded. Under normal circumstances, it is not safe to keep groceries in the trunk of a car for an extended period of time, because some foods will spoil without being refrigerated. But Sunny saw that the temperatures of the Mortmain Mountains had caused the groceries to become over-refrigerated. A thin layer of frost covered every item, and Sunny had to crawl inside and wipe the frost off with her bare hands to see what she might make for the troop. There was a variety of well-chilled food that Olaf had stolen from the carnival, but none of it seemed like the makings of a good breakfast. There was a bag of coffee beans beneath the harpoon gun, and a frozen hunk of spinach, but there was no way to grind the beans into tiny pieces to make coffee. Nearby a picnic basket and a large bag of mushrooms was a jug of orange juice, but it had been close to one of the bullet holes in the trunk, and so had frozen completely solid in the cold. And after Sunny moved aside three chunks of cold cheese, a large can of water chestnuts, and an eggplant as big as herself, she finally found a small jar of boysenberry jam and a loaf of bread she could use to make toast, although it was so cold it felt more like a log than a breakfast ingredient.
"Wake up!"
Sunny peeked out of the trunk and saw Count Olaf calling through the door of one of the tents she had assembled.
"Wake up and get dressed for breakfast."
"Can't we sleep 10 minutes more?"
asked the whiny voice of the hook-handed man.
"I was having a lovely dream about sneezing without covering my nose and mouth and giving everybody germs."
"Absolutely not," Olaf replied. "I have lots of work for you to do."
"But Olaf,"
said Esme Squalor, emerging from the tent she had shared with Count Olaf. Her hair was in curlers, and she was wearing a long robe and a pair of fuzzy slippers.
"I need a little while to choose what I'm going to wear. It's not in to burn down a headquarters without wearing a fashionable outfit."
Sunny gasped in the trunk. She had known that Olaf was eager to reach the VFT headquarters as soon as possible, in order to get his hands on the rest of some crucial evidence, but it had not occurred to her that he would combine this evidence-grabbing with his usual pyromania, a word which here means a love of fire, usually the product of a deranged mind.
"I can't imagine why you need all this time,"
was Count Olaf's grumpy reply to his girlfriend.
"After all, I wear the same outfit for weeks at a time, except when I'm in disguise, and I look almost unbearably handsome." "Well, I suppose you have a few minutes before breakfast is ready. Slow service is one of the disadvantages of having infants for slaves."
Olaf strode over to the car and peered in at Sunny, who was still clutching the loaf of bread.
"Hurry up, big mouth," he growled at Sunny. "I need a nice hot meal to take the chill out of the morning."
"Unfeasy,"
Sunny cried. By unfeasy, she meant, to make a hot meal without any electricity, I'd need a fire, and expecting a baby to start a fire all by herself on top of a snowy mountain is cruelly impossible and impossibly cruel. But Olaf merely frowned.
"Your baby talk is really beginning to annoy me," he said.
"Hygiene,"
Sunny said, to make herself feel better. She meant something along the lines of, "Additionally, you ought to be ashamed of yourself for wearing the same outfit for weeks at a time without washing." But Olaf merely scowled at her and walked back into his tent.